Thomas Booker is Bondi Tunes International. He's our North American correspondent, and he joins us now from Texas.
Bondi Tunes, playing all over the planet now.
This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia, and I'm joined by Thomas Booker, our North America correspondent in San Antonio de Bayar in Texas. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure being here.
Now, there's been some breaking news in the George Floyd murder trial. Give us the details on that.
Well, the jury entered into deliberation actually toward the end of last week. I think they were given their directives. They had the final arguments yesterday in the trial in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it took something, I believe I was quoted as 17 hours of negotiation between that time. And today the jury was announced. It was right at 5 o'clock in the evening on Central Daylight Times today. And surprisingly, it is a bit surprising under the circumstances that cynicism would not believe. But the jury was unanimous in finding Chauvin guilty on all counts. And as a result, he has the three charges against him, and he's headed. Well, what's going to happen now is he is going to be detained. He's going to be sent to jail, and he will be awaiting appeals, I'm sure. And we don't know what the fallout is going to be. Whether he eventually goes to prison, there is the remote possibility in the near future that he could be acquitted of some of the charges. That all is in the air. Under the legal system, he could carry this out for a couple of years. So he's not necessarily on his way to prison, but he is going to have a changed life up to that point. So that's about as far. But President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have made their statements about it, and there is relief in the nation, I would say. Almost a year ago to this date, I covered the march in San Antonio, Texas, back in May of 2020. And this is the piece that came from it. The developments are of interest now sort of conclude that piece, have the end cap for it. And I also want to introduce another aspect of it in terms of the injustice that the march was basically opposing. So please listen tightly.
Bondi Tunes International. This music, and the words sung and spoken to it, are a recent composition by composer Joel Thompson. It is a choral work entitled Seven Last Words of the Unarmed, and is a lamentation of the recent record that had long been known to non-white people. One manifestation of this record is the cynical phrase, driving while black. It apparently can also be walking while black, or standing on a street corner while black, or holding a toy rifle while black. They used to be anecdotes. They were taken as exaggerations or fantasies on the part of the non-white populations. Now they are documented. Trayvon Martin, walking while black, killed in a tussle with a zealous neighborhood watch volunteer one night in Florida. Trayvon was challenged by the volunteer, which he should not have been, and engaged in a physical struggle that was not supposed to happen, and was eventually killed by a handgun the volunteer was not supposed to be carrying. One of the first incidents to be documented and subject to critical investigation. Trayvon was carrying a soft drink and munching on a bag of Skittles while wearing a hoodie, Sandra Bland was an example of driving while black, pulled over by a Texas state trooper for failing to signal a turn. The officer proceeded to write her a ticket and engage in pointed questions. Bland had just received a position as a counselor at a local college. She was sorting things out in her life and was a troubled soul. She had no patience for the officer's challenges. She did not exhibit the appropriate conciliatory responses in the officer's point of view. As a result, the interaction became escalated. At one point, the officer asked her to put her cigarette out. She refused, asserting that she was in her own car, one of the many expressions of defiance that the officer took as disrespect. The officer arrested her. She was taken to town, thrown in jail. Later, she was found hanging in her cell after 3 days incarceration. Suicide. And the most recent incident of all, the videotape of a Minneapolis police officer holding down a cuffed man who begged the officer to stop kneeling on his neck. George Floyd arrested for passing a counterfeit $20 bill at a convenience store. As it turned out, Floyd was also a troubled person who found himself under the knee of the arresting officer, the knee on Floyd's neck pressing with nearly the entire weight of the officer. The officer ignoring Floyd's pleas that he cannot breathe during a 9-minute ordeal that snuffed the light out of Floyd. This was the first televised intimate death of white-on-black violence by police. The many other anecdotes, and demonstrably true now, and the social conscience of the planet was eventually moved to shock and eventual outrage. What follows is a recorded journal of one of the outcomes of that shock and outrage. A spring day in 2020, a Saturday afternoon in San Antonio, Texas, a march organized by the local chapter of Black Lives Matter to challenge outrage into peaceful protest in honor of the life of George Floyd.
Thomas Booker for Bondi Tunes International. Saturday, 29 May, 2020, San Antonio, Texas. It is approaching late afternoon. I am just in time to watch some of the preliminaries before the Black Lives Matter demonstration. The assembly point is Travis Park, dedicated to the memory of William Barrett Travis, commander of the Alamo Garrison against Santa Anna's substantial army. On this day, there was a partition concealing a maintenance shed on the north side of the park, with a painted excerpt of a letter written by Travis while under siege. "I shall never surrender or retreat." 3 years earlier, the park was the venue of controversy over a statue of a Confederate soldier that the city council had decided needed removal to a museum in the wave of enlightenment against reverential monuments to the Confederate States of America. A city with the racially diverse populace as San Antonio need not revere a rebellion seeking to preserve slavery. And in the dark of one evening, a work crew removed the statue of the soldier. There was much resentment to this amongst those of the lost cause persuasion. Today, there was a sight that would bring horror to the eyes of a loyal Confederate soldier. Many, many black people. Many brown people. Many white people, all mingling in a manner of common purpose and sympathy, called together in response to outrage over the death of a black man by police in a city far to the north, in a state that was fighting on the side of the Union of the United States nearly a century and a half ago. George Floyd, a former resident of Houston, Texas, died at the hands of police in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The police were in the process of detaining Floyd for questioning while investigating a matter of minor offense when something went horribly awry and Floyd found himself handcuffed and on the ground with a police officer's knee holding Floyd down by his neck. Despite pleas that he was having trouble breathing, begging to be allowed up, all while a burly police officer ignored the pleas from a man who was suffocating. After 8 minutes of this torture, Floyd had died, becoming yet another black person meeting his demise under deeply questionable circumstances at the usual hands of police officers who were white males. Enough instances of black men and black women dying from abusive, hostile, or incompetent law enforcement officers, that a nationwide hue and cry has been raised across the USA. That eruption of anger surprisingly spread worldwide. Here in this limited locale, a gathering of protest was in progress. This event was being organized by a group that calls itself the Autonomous Brown Berets. They set as their purpose becoming peaceful guardians and advocates for neighborhoods that are subject to lack of municipal services, crime, violence, and police harassment.
There's three other officers who were involved. And yeah, they were fired, but it's not enough.
And tomorrow, activists right here in San Antonio are planning a rally calling for justice for George Floyd, the man who died while he was being arrested there in Minneapolis. Now, News 4 San Antonio's Alejandro Guzman tonight talked with organizers here about what they can expect in San Antonio.
As protests intensify across the nation,
all we're trying to do is remember George Floyd and all the other black men who have been murdered by police officers.
Activists in San Antonio are joining the calls for justice.
Simply firing them isn't enough. There are plenty of officers that get fired for this type of action and get rehired in a different city, a different state, that people never know about. So to simply fire them, say that's enough, is not enough. A man died for no reason.
The Autonomous Brown Beret members say they're providing the African-American community a platform at Travis Park where they can voice their concerns.
To be able to take over this park and have it a host for a day to remembrance of black men and women that were murdered by police officers, to give them that honor, to take this land back to those people that truly deserve it.
There have been multiple people here in San Antonio who have been killed. Marquise Jones was killed in 2014. Charles Roundtree was killed a couple years ago. These are things that continue to happen, and we're going to continue to do this until it stops.
The Brown Berets say they've acted as the People's Army for years. Tomorrow's rally will not be any different.
We're not going to be breaking any buildings. We're not going to be burning anything. We're here to remember a man who was killed.
With thousands expected to attend, the activists hope their call to action will have a lasting impact.
I'm only hoping that with the arrest comes a conviction. And with a conviction, the family can see some type of peace and healing.
As much as the Brown Berets were steeled to resist and enforce strict nonviolence, elsewhere in town there was trouble a-brewing. A few nights earlier, downtown San Antonio was assaulted by a wave of vandalism. Local monuments and visual symbols of the city were defaced, mainly by spray paint, but with minor physical damage as well. One of the most cherished monuments, the Alamo Cenotaph, a structure erected in 1936 to commemorate the then 100 years since the fall of the Alamo, is now defaced by spray paint. Prior to this insult, the city of San Antonio announced plans to redesign Alamo Plaza by restoring the original footprint of the village the chapel served and restore heritage beyond the 1836 battle. Part of this plan involves relocating the beloved cenotaph a few hundred meters to the south of the plaza. The contemporary defenders of the Alamo were outraged, as they believe, incorrectly, that the cenotaph marks the location of the funeral pyre for the bodies of the defenders. It doesn't. Rumors about the relocation taking place during the holidays, when the concerned citizens were distracted, contemporary defenders calling themselves the Texas Freedom Force camped out at the Alamo Plaza to guard the monument. They had firearms openly carried as a warning to any construction crew attempting to sneak the monument away. The vandalism of the cenotaph spurred new outrage, and the defenders were back on guard to see to it that the monument was defended. Then the announcement of the Black Lives Matter march further caused the patriots to gird their loins and defend the plaza against marchers. The route of the demonstration did not go near Alamo Plaza, but the patriots stood their ground nonetheless. There was even a small group of militiamen appearing across the block from Travis Park, carrying rifles and a strange flag with the stars and stripes in blue and white. Someone intervened with that patrol and encouraged them to leave the area, and they disappeared. While Anglo men were not the only ones displeased, a very agitated Mexican-American man stormed onto the park grounds, demanding that the black people not demonstrate downtown. He demanded that they take their march to the east side of town, where, quote, all the black people live, unquote. Here, the Brown Berets intervened, stood their ground, and told the man this was a peaceful protest, sanctioned and supported by the city, to allow voices to be heard, black, brown, and white. The man left the park after the lady who was serving as mistress of ceremony stormed up to him and told him to get away from the park. She used an expletive to add force to her demand. With all the strangeness hanging around the mustering of the protests, including a couple of helicopters and police blockades, the warm-up speeches began. As usual, before the army of peaceful protests, there needed to be a poetry and a prayer.
My people, read this to illegal. Don't you know they want to keep you pressed to concrete, they need you? Chest too stressed, too no breath, they sleep you? Who knows the claims of the crucified? He will be here every year, his spirit was raised and revivified. Perfect love, casting out fear, say they name like God got you. If God got you, then thank her. Long been the wealth and sure, but they not sure because we freed them after they yanked us. Unless they need a life to take, yeah, because you don't steal pennies that many unless you're making bank trusts. We can count Emmett Till to George Denny, Jesse Washington to Floyd, Sandra Bland, the Garnet, Tamir, and Trayvon, just boys and girls getting life in the grind. But the Central Park Five, Centoya, Kylie, Crowder all had lives on the line. They took leaders and looked at us like, what's wrong with you? But we know how the devil do. We're walking to church with seven shoes and heaven blues to get amen a new meaning. And when the nation spoke on it, we forgave that keep gleaming. And now comes the screaming, waving the gnashing of teeth. But canines came out, drained the pigs and take the feet. Till sun out, masses of slaves, children marching through your streets, giving no peace. We drummed ancestors with our boots, like eras bygone. No more knees to our necks, what you lie for. Done with the getting by and getting got by on. Mass protests in your area. The fuck you think we is? Best watch yourself. Don't hurt yourself, America.
other guy in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would cover his efforts under your precious blood. We ask that this would be peaceful. We ask that no lives would be lost here today. We ask that every effort that we're making here today will be heard nationwide. We ask that it will bring about change in legislature. We ask that it will bring about change in us as a people. We ask, Heavenly Father, that change will just come to the United States of America, and that all the lives that have been lost will not be lost in vain. We thank you for covering us as we go, as we march. And we thank you that you're creating change. And we thank you that even through this, lives are coming together. We thank you that you're just in the midst of us, and that you're walking this street with us, and that we're not alone. And in Jesus' name we pray. San Antonio, be encouraged today.
San Antonio, it's about time that we took to the streets, goddamn. Friendly reminder, Mac, what on? Okay, ignorance, away. We are canceling that shit out. If somebody wants to act a fool, we have come here today to stand in solidarity with the rest of the country because this is about black lives.
Then came the firm instruction from the Brown Berets.
Remember, everybody, this is a peaceful demonstration. We don't need nobody acting a fool. We don't need nobody throwing anything, hitting anybody. Keep your damn hands to yourself, okay? If you see somebody that is trying to antagonize you, do not engage them. That is what they want. I say it again, that is what they want. They are going to get away with it while your ass sits in jail. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Then take no damn strength.
Yeah.
The crowd I was standing in began to move toward Navarro Street, bordering the park. And as they filled the street, the number of people there became evident. And as the march began, I suddenly found myself in a substantial mobile community come together to express solidarity across lines of race, ethnicity, and belief. And they kept the chants going to let bystanders understand what this gathering was all about, all while keeping reasonable social distancing while wearing various face covers against the dreaded SARS-CoV-2 virus. The march proceeded down Navarro Street, merged into St. Mary's Street. The traffic was stopped to accommodate the parade. Some supported the march by honking on their horns, waving and shouting affirmation. Some tourists stopped to stare in bewilderment. Some visitors stood on the balconies of their hotels, staring at the march with expressionless faces. Office workers crowded a window to watch the passing, yet not showing any curiosity or opinion, just watching the march go by. The march followed East Cesar Chavez Boulevard. The crowd was becoming somewhat subdued because the day was warm and the march was becoming tiresome. The Brown Berets arranged for water and snacks to be handed out along the route, which was much appreciated by the time the intersection with Santa Rosa Street was reached and the goal of the march was in sight, the San Antonio Police Headquarters, which served as an effigy upon which accusations of injustice could be hurled. after the fetish of authority was confronted and the criticism and denunciation was expended, the march resumed, up Santa Rosa Street to East Travis and finally back to the park. Once returning to the park, there were no speeches, no organized entertainment. The last orders given the attendees was to please get off the street, as police were opening up the route to downtown traffic. As the crowd began to thin, people remaining were getting younger and younger. There was music, some spontaneous dancing, but mostly many were simply hanging out. And I took my leave. Later that evening, the news began to trickle in about a deteriorating situation downtown. Gangs of youths, some who were part of the march still carrying their placards, were committing acts of destruction. There was confrontation with police. There was window smashing, looting, and even some confrontations with the guardians of Alamo Plaza. It got worse. Curfews were imposed. Law enforcement from county and state was called in. Then came tear gas, rubber bullets, and cordons of armored police officers pushing miscreants out of the way. All the remnant good feelings and companionship and solidarity began to vanish into crime and chaos. Rather than being downtown, I was at home watching the madness on TV, listening as the reportage continued to associate the discord with the meticulously organized and peaceful march of the afternoon. The march itself was becoming an innocent victim of false accusations and mischaracterization of local reporters. Suddenly, the overwhelmingly positive experience I had was becoming tarnished and ruined. I sat in my easy chair, watching the discord and chaos, and my thoughts were somber.
Central United States correspondent for Bondi Tunes International. The officer who arrested George Floyd and kept his knee on Floyd's neck is named Derek Chauvin. He was ousted from the police force and put on trial for murder. All last week, the damning testimony continued, and part of the nation reeled at the testimony. Because Floyd had existing conditions, drug addiction and a heart disease, the right-wing commentators tried to exonerate Chauvin with a callous, he would have died anyway argument, and it seemed at one point that was going to be an excuse. But subsequent testimony from medical professionals managed to demolish that argument. The trial goes on and may reach a conclusion with a verdict by this week's end, but not before a sickening twist of events. Near the Minneapolis trial venue, a man was stopped by police because of an expired vehicle registration. Officers noticed an object hanging from the rearview mirror of the car that looked suspicious. The officers approached the vehicle. The situation took an apparently threatening turn. An officer shouted to the now suspect, "Taser, taser!" But the officer accidentally pulled her pistol instead of her taser, shot and killed the driver of the vehicle. The object hanging from the rearview mirror that caused suspicion was an air freshener. The driver of the vehicle was a 20-year-old black man. The website 7lastwords.org has access to the information about Joel Thompson's composition and access to the full video that can be viewed on YouTube. I strongly recommend it. Thank you.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes International Broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia, and I'm joined by our correspondent in Canberra, Peter Herman. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm all right, Henry, and I'll behave myself today, too.
Ah, that's okay.
Live radio, isn't it good?
Well, this isn't quite live, sadly.
Well, it's awful close to it, but anyway, who's worried? You can hear me and I can hear you.
That's, yes, and even with the wretched NBN, the National Broadband Network, which, as you will know from social media, our correspondent in Melbourne has been cut off the internet for the whole of Saturday, I think, and he's been cut off for the whole of today. I can't
What's
even
for?
Interview him. He's got no, his television is connected via Apple to his internet, so he has no television or internet. All he's got is his phone.
Oh, well, yeah, I've got the NBN. Actually, it's surprising you say that because we lost the NBN here in Canberra last Thursday.
Mm.
And I thought my ISP had cut me off. I'm watching Win Bold, by the way. Marcus Sloan, what do they call it, MD. Anyway, I contacted my ISPs in Melbourne, and he sent me back an email saying, the NBN, No Bloody Network, is down in Melbourne and in Sydney. And I said, yeah, you better put Canberra in that as well. So
yeah,
it turned out that there was an outage in Melbourne somewhere.
Yeah, a big one, obviously, because of Adam's problems. We have been told that our internet's going down here on a week from yesterday, whatever that is, next Sunday.
It's Sunday, Anzac Day.
Oh, is that Anzac Day?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Anzac Day has come around again.
That's why they're pulling it down, because all the Anzacs will be marching.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting Anzac Day, Peter, isn't it?
Yes, well, I don't know whether you're aware of it, but Sunday is... Well, here in Canberra, which is where I reside at the moment...
Mm.
Our Anzacs are allowed to march down Northbourne Avenue to the War Memorial, but it's a ticketed event.
Yes.
In other words, the only way you can march, and they're permitting 5,500 to march down Northbourne Avenue to the War Memorial, but the only way you can march is if you've got online, big deal, and got yourself a pass or a ticket to attend the march. Now, my argument is, and this is something that the correspondents around the world may be interested in,
mm-hmm.
What happens if you're over 65 and you don't even know how to turn a bloody computer on?
It's a very good point. I mean, you're a high-tech dude, so you don't have that problem, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's also, you know, with regard to having to buy things or get stuff regarding COVID on the net, or QR codes getting into the RSL.
How do you get them if you wouldn't know how to turn a bloody computer on?
Or if you don't have a mobile phone.
Or if you don't have a cell phone. That's right. And the amount of people that are, let's put it this way, the amount of people that are 50 and over that don't have a phone, that wouldn't even know what one looked like, don't have a computer and look at a screen and say, what in the bloody hell's that, is unbelievable. But the government don't even think of that, do they?
Well, in fact, you can sign in still to places like restaurants and that kind of thing. You know, the old-fashioned piece of paper and a pen.
Well, it's like when I go to Valley FM, which I won't be going much longer because that's another story. I'll tell you off air. Mm. But if you go in there, there's an app on your phone, and you must have a phone. In fact, I'm just about to go and find it here. There is an app on your phone that says check in CBR, which means check into Canberra. Now, if you go anywhere in Canberra, you've got to sign on because of this stupid bloody COVID rubbish. Now, how many people in the age group of 50 and over, duh, know what a bloody phone is, duh, know what a computer is, and they walk in there and they say, oh, I don't have a phone, I don't have a computer, where do I sign in? Now, you go to Canberra Hospital, you've actually got to give them your name, your address, and your phone number, of which they put into a phone, right?
Yes.
But if they don't, if you don't have a phone, you've got to sign your damn name and address and phone number on a pad.
Yeah, now, that's the system at the moment.
That's
yeah.
the system, but the thing, the stupid part about it is, doesn't anybody upstairs, or don't they think upstairs about these poor people that don't have a phone, don't have a computer, and wouldn't even know how to turn a bloody thing on?
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to talk too much about COVID because it's media overload, but I do want to mention something that is important to Peter Herman in Canberra, is that there's these live updates going on as we record. Australia's Health Minister Greg Hunt says the world is still learning about vaccines. And this is following a New Zealand case of COVID. And it's worth pointing out that last weekend, Australia and New Zealand opened up as in a bubble so people could fly from one country to the other for the first time in over a year. And there was lots of people crying with and hugging and all that stuff at airports. I knew that this was going to happen. I knew they were going to get a case, and they did.
Well, now, two questions. What in the bloody hell is a bubble? That's another ScoMo bloody thing. What is a bubble? A bubble is something that you blow when you've got a machine in your hand or your mouth, or you've got soapy water in your mouth, and you go, you blow a bubble.
Yeah,
now,
okay.
who in the hell invented this word between A-N and N-Z, a bubble? I bet you any money you like that ScoMo's spoken to Jenny, and Jenny said, why don't we call it a bubble?
No, because that's not right, because it is an international term. They're using it around the world. They use it in America as well.
But why?
ScoMo didn't make it up.
Okay, but why are they using the word bubble? Now, bubble to me is something that you blow out of your mouth and it's soapy and it makes a gigantic big round thing and you pop it with your finger and it goes pop.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Well, you know, the thing is, they've opened the borders after a year and a bit, and now there's a case being found in a hospital, I do believe, in Auckland, the capital.
Yes.
Not the capital. Oh, I got that wrong. The biggest city.
The Kiwis are like that.
No.
Isn't Wellington the capital?
It is indeed. Yes.
Oh, bugger.
And we actually broadcast into Wellington.
I don't think the Kiwis will be upset.
Oh, well, anyway.
People call bloody Melbourne the capital of Australia.
I know. It's a famous thing on TV quiz shows back in the 70s and 80s. What's the capital of Australia? They actually would say Sydney, you know.
Yeah, they used to say Sydney or Melbourne.
Isn't it
yeah.
true that Melbourne originally was the capital of Australia?
No. No, Brisbane. Brisbane was the original.
You're kidding
capital
me.
Brisbane because... For those that aren't aware of it, and I don't know whether you're aware of it, but Canberra was built in the Brindabellas.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Canberra was a colony way back in 1932.
Mm.
Right. And it was called Canberra because it was basically called Canberra because it was sitting in the middle of the Brindabellas. Now, how they came up with the name, I'm not sure, but I don't know whether you're also aware of this, but in Canberra, our registrations on our motor vehicles begin with the letter Y.
Right.
Now, do you know why they called it Y?
No.
Well, way back in 1931, 32, I actually Googled this and found out why. Because I went to ACT Canberra and asked them, how can we get stuck with the letter Y for our number plates. And see, we get three letters, two numbers, and another letter.
Mm.
And I said, okay, what do we get stuck with the letter Y for? And the lady from ACT Canberra said, well, when they were calling for registrations for ACT and Canberra, someone turned around and said, why do we have to worry about it? So therefore, that was the letter Y. That was
You're kidding me.
No, I'm telling you the truth. That somebody turned around and said, why do we need registration for Canberra? Why can't we use it the same as New South Wales? And consequently, from 1931-32, all the ACT number plates have started with the letter Y.
That is an amazing story. And now that I think about it, I've been to Canberra many times, and I have... Now that I think about it, the registration plates on a car are always blue, and they blue do and start white. With Y.
Yeah, blue letters on white because the reason they became blue on white was because, what do you call a redhead?
I don't know.
Blue.
That's an Australian thing.
Yeah, that's an Australian slang word, and when they created the ACT number plates way back in 1932, the lady that was in there, and this was true that I got from ACT Rego, that the guy that turned around and said, why do we need a registration in Canberra? The lady that turned around and said, oh, we need Y, and he said, all right, we'll have blue because the redhead is called blue.
Yeah, that all makes loads of sense, not.
Well, you call your redheads blue, don't you?
Well, that's an Australian thing. I'm from
Ireland. It's Australian slang, yeah.
I've heard of it.
But it was still way back in 1931-32.
Monday Tunes International, virus free.
Around the world and down your street.
Now here's an interesting one for you. Now, I don't know what injection or what vaccinations they've got over in the USA. Now, I've asked my better half, and she said you can either have the AstraZeneca or you can have the Johnson & Johnson. Right? Now, she's had both of them because she's a nurse, right? So she's had both of them. And the first one, there was no reaction. The second jabber, when she got the second jabber, she was in hospital for 10 days.
Really?
Because she had the J&J.
Gee.
Now, they were due to leave the USA 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mum is coming over. This is Rhonda's mum.
Yes.
Mum is coming over to Australia to get out of America and come to Australia. She had the J&J, and they ended up finding her in a coma on the floor of her home.
Oh, my God.
And she's now in hospital in New Jersey. Now, the thing is, I turned around and went to my local chemist here today, down here in Mawson, which is a kilometre and a half from where I live, and they're all getting sorted out and set up for the injection. And I said, when do you expect to get it? Oh, we've been told by the health department around about June or July. Mm-hmm. Now, here in Canberra, because no one worries about us here because we're regarded as a low risk area here in Canberra.
Yes.
Now I'm in the over 70 age group. I might not sound it, but I am.
You sound only about 45.
Oh, I sound 60. Don't be rude.
Anyway, here's the question. Did you get the jab?
No, I contacted my local GP, who is Dr. Kumar. He's down there at the Greenway Medical Centre in Tuggeranong. And I contacted him. I said, all right, Doc, what's happening with the jab? He said, we're still waiting to find out when we're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Canberra, when they first introduced it in Canberra, they sent 50 doses out to 7 medical centres.
Mm.
Right? Now, when they sent the jabbers out to the medical centres, of the 7, 6 were in the north side of Canberra and 1 was down in Wanneyassa, which is on the south side.
Yes.
Now, the amount of people that live on the south side of Canberra, which is the majority of people, they all rolled up, they all rocked up to Wanniassa, and they were told, sorry, we've only got 50.
Yeah.
Every medical centre in Canberra only got 50 doses. Now, In the last 2 or 3 weeks, okay, they've improved by about 10%. But I still don't know when I'm getting it. I don't want it, but I've been contacting my doctor, and he says, I'm sorry, Peter, but we don't know what's going on because we haven't got the injections.
Yeah, I don't want to keep talking about this vaccine. It's driving me nuts. But
it's driving me insane.
But just anyway, to say that the rollout has been a disgrace.
About was the bloody mouse plague out in the central western New South Wales.
Yes, and I just want to do a station ID. I'm talking with Peter Herman, our correspondent in the ACT in Canberra, and I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International in Sydney. Are you afraid of mice, Peter?
No.
No, me neither.
No. When I lived out now, for those that aren't aware of it, I looked after PKLFM for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I created it, founded it, got it up and running. I think it's still running. I don't know. But back in around about the late 70s, back in the 2000, my missus died in 2014, so it would have been about 2016, just before I had my car accident in 2017, we had a mouse plague.
Yeah, and I just want to refer to ABC America is the link you sent me, not ABC Australia, but ABC News in America.
Yeah, NBC America had a story on it, that's right.
And is that from that time, that story?
Yes. Oh, no, right. No. This is from the one that happened just recently.
Right, so it's happened again. Okay.
Oh, yeah. We had three lots of plague out in the central west of New South Wales. We had a mouse plague. Then we had a grasshopper plague, which people called locusts, which is a load of rubbish. And then we've just had another mouse plague out there. Now, the mice come in from way the other side of Broken Hill, would you believe? And Broken Hill to the central west is probably it's about 6 hours away, which is probably around about 300 kilometres. But the mice just came out of nowhere, and they were looking for water.
And that's what I was wondering. Why they were doing this. There's two times this has happened. I just don't want to confuse our audience. It's happened recently in Western New South. Sorry, yeah, on the East Coast. Is that right?
No. It's happened the big one that they've just had in the last 2 or 3 months was in the central and the western part of New South Wales.
Right.
And Wilcannia.
Gilgandra,
that's a big area, Wilcannia to Gilgandra, and they also had them down as south as Dubbo, and all the farmers have done all their hay baling, and these mice have thought, beauty, we got some food, and they just came from nowhere. And as I heard on the ABC the other night, it was either the ABC or some commercial station, I can't remember now, but they turned around and said, two mice can multiply in 19 days.
Right. Oh my God.
And then they lay their little mice, and those mice multiply. They don't care who they multiply with. Mice just multiply.
And just a point on this story that you sent me, they have worked out that there are 20 million mice. Can you fathom that? 20 million?
Yeah, well, a friend of mine who lives in Peak Hill, he looked on something on the computer and saw some ways of catching mice. And he reckons on Facebook there, he reckoned that he caught 45 in one night.
My God. And how does it? What do you do? I mean, the authorities can't help you.
Bury them. So a mouse will live without food for about 2 or 3 days. You let them die and then you bury them. You dig a hole and bury them. But what I was told was happening was that people were getting a hose and drowning them.
Right.
And then putting them in a hole. But what do you do? But there was a story on, I think, on A Current Affair last Friday night or last week sometime, and a guy had something like 500 hay bales.
Right.
That he'd actually baled, and he was actually getting ready to sell the hay. But he couldn't sell the hay, and this is up there at Gilgandra, and he couldn't sell the hay bales because it was full of bloody mice. And they're probably only around about 4 inches long.
Yeah, but there's 20 million of them.
They've all gone.
There's 20 million of them.
So, you know, they appeared.
And they stink. And Peter, they stink apparently. They smell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they reckon the mouse droppings are worse than. I can't even compare.
I know what you're going to say.
Actually, yes, I can. The mouse droppings are worse than a dog on heat. There you go.
Okay, that explains it absolutely. apparently, the health impact on humans has not been that severe, but there's been at least one report of the rare mouse-related illness, and I can't pronounce it, lymphocytic chloriomeningitis.
Oh, right. That'd be rude.
that's what it is, lymphocytic
chloriomeningitis. I know of only one person who was out at Wilcannia that was bitten by one of these things. If you get bitten by them, oh, geez, you know about it. It's like being bitten by a bloody snake, a non-venomous snake. They just grab in and they've only got little. No, it's actually not like a snake. It's like a rabbit, because a mouse has got two fangs on the front of its mouth. And those two fangs, if you ever check out a piece of cheese, you'll see that it's like a typewriter. They go along and they rip it out. And if a mouse bites you, all it does is the two fangs on the top just rip into your skin on you wherever they bite you. But it's not deadly or anything like that. It's just bloody hurts and annoying.
And there's so many of them.
That's right. But, you know, now here we are a month later and all the little buggers have disappeared.
Where do they go?
Is my face red?
The thing is, I'm reading. Yeah, it's really
nobody,
interesting.
Nobody knows where they went to. They just appeared from the west.
Mm.
And appeared from the west out there around Broken Hill or something. Came in there through Gilgandra, Wilcannia and all, and Dubbo, and then just disappeared again.
Can you imagine if they moved to Sydney, how catastrophic, there's 5 million people in Sydney, how catastrophic that would be.
The Premier would turn around and say, what in the bloody hell's going on?
And, you know, Peter, on a serious note, some farmers are actually giving up on summer crops because the mice have damaged them so severely.
This is
a financial disaster as well.
It is. It's worse than the floods we had out and had up in north and out in the west. The mice plague was, I think it was the floods that drove them out, because the mice had just killed off everything, and it's just a financial disaster out there now. But on a good note, did you know that they felt that the New South Wales government have just signed a $5 million extravaganza for a new film to be made out in Broken Hill?
I did see that. That's a big money maker too.
Yeah, and it's what's the name of it?
I have no idea.
Oh,
no,
it's the same thing that what's his name starred in? The guy that the cars all out there at Silverton.
And it is in New South Wales.
Yeah, Silverton's in Broken Hill.
Oh, right. So you would, yeah, so, okay.
And it's
a new Mad Max movie starring
Mad Max.
Hemsworth, who of course is Australian.
Yeah, that's right. And they're gonna film the Mad Max movie out there as long as the road is good, and as long as the area out there at Silverton is good, and the pub is now owned by a family affair, and it's still open, the Silverton Pub. Been out there, been there, done that. But they're going to film the new Mad Max adventure out there at Silverton and out there in Broken Hill, and I believe it's costing something like about $5 million. It's been subsidised in part by the New South Wales government, good on them, and it's starring Chris Hemsworth, another good Aussie, and they're apparently the employment out there is going to be in the vicinity of 5,000 to 6,000 people, which means that there's going to be a hell of a lot of people off the dole and out there earning a dollar.
It's fantastic.
Australian movie.
And it's going to inject $350 million Australian dollars into the New South Wales economy. And
yes.
I'm sure the Premier, is that her name?
Gladys Berejiklian.
Thank you very much. She was actually standing beside Chris Hemsworth, the actor, and smiling her face off because much money.
It's a money-making exercise, and the guy that originally filmed, or one of the co-producers or something, that did the original Mad Max movie out there. Mm. Apparently, it's one of his relatives that's going to be doing the new Mad Max.
That's a beautiful thing. And another thing to note is that, of course, actor Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, that's the man.
Is he involved in this new one?
No. I don't think Mel is. I don't know. Yes, he was. I was told. I heard on the grapevine that he is going to assist the producers in filming of it, because he was the original Mad Max.
I know.
And he was the one that had the car, and the car's still out there. If anybody has a chance to, Silverton is 25 to 30 kilometres north of Broken Hill. It's a straight road out there. If it floods, you can't get out there, of course. But there is a lot of the original home that Mad Max or Mel Gibson was in is still out there. The courthouse that he was pulled into, it's still out there. There's a lot of Mad Max memorabilia.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have been out there.
I must check it out.
Yeah, and the pub is still there. There's more bikies at that pub than there is customers. And the day I went out there, there was about I'm going back to 2013, 2014 when I was out there. That's how long ago it is. But there were caravans lined up everywhere. You can actually go around behind the pub, and it used to cost you $10 a night.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, but they used to have 10 or 15 caravans all lined up using the pub's power, you know.
My God.
It was well worth it to be out there and to see his original car, the memorabilia, the original courthouse, his home. Everything was out there.
Sounds
it's all out
great.
At Silverton, and it's a beautiful place to be in.
Okay, now, Peter, you know we got to go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, puppy dogs and pussycats, this is Peter Herman from, won't be at Valley FM much longer. I'm going to talk to Henry about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Won't be at Valley FM much longer, but I am still there for the time being. So until next time we meet, this is Peter Herman from Canberra saying ciao, ciao for now. Now we'll see you later. Huru, take care, stay safe, and behave yourself. Bye-bye.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.